I'm taking myself off mute and looks like we are live. Laura wrapped a little bit early, and so I'm back with you a little bit early, but that is okay. What a session. I mean, that session from Hannah was amazing, wasn't it? I mean, I always say that the supply chain is absolutely overflowing with talent, not lacking it, and it's more about knowing where to look, matching the right people to the right places, and being a little bit more forward-thinking when it comes to those traditional styles of hiring. So I hope you're all thinking about exactly how you're going to go away and tackle that talent crunch within your own businesses. Before Laura comes and joins us to wrap up the session online, I do ask you guys one more question. So we're going to get a poll put up on the screen. And we're going to put the question up there that we had asked you this morning, but a different poll was put up. So the question is, what is your biggest challenge with leadership? So hopefully the team can put that poll up there so that we can get your answers up there. I think we've had, there it is. So you've got effective communication, budgets, culture, and vision. So go ahead and put in your answers there, because we want to hear from you. I mean, we've heard a lot about talent today. We've heard a lot about how leadership can affect whether we retain talent, keep talent, that kind of thing. And so I want to know from you what your biggest challenge with leadership is. And we're going to be in just a few minutes. If we can put those answers up on the screen, team, so I can take a look and see where we're at with those biggest challenges, that would be great. I'd also love to hear from you in the chat function as to what your biggest takeaways were from Hannah's discussion. So if you have any takeaways there, we'd love to hear from you in the chat function about what you thought. Talent is a really, really big discussion right now. And I think one of the articles I was reading this morning, and I was going to mention this to Laura when she comes in, is something that they're talking about called labor hoarding. I don't know if you've heard that, but they're hanging on to talent because they think it's going to save them money long run. So we've got all sorts of different terminology coming at us: quiet quitting, labor hoarding, great resignation. So it's a lot to consider. So we've got 33% of you that says your biggest challenge with leadership is effective communication. 33% of you also said culture. 17% of you said budgets. And I think about 20% of you said vision. Now, effective communication, now that is, you know, that is something that is extremely important, but can be also very difficult. And that's just jumped up to, we're back to 33%. I saw one of the top LinkedIn voices on leadership speak at a conference, the general management meeting for Hapag-Lloyd back in June. And one of the slides that she had was to talk about the different generations and what they've seen throughout their lifetime, which changes their perspectives and how you can effectively communicate with them as a leader. So, for example, Gen Z, she was talking about, has been through and seen a lot from September 11th, and they haven't known about war. Plus, they've gone through COVID. And so the anxiety levels that we're seeing right now does attribute to what they've seen in their lifetime. And it's different for the baby boomers, as well as my generation, the millennials. And it really depends, because they saw inflation, but what she was saying is that they didn't really see too much war and things like that. So it's very interesting to take a look at the generations and what they've been through and their perspectives when you're looking to communicate with them, because I think that hopefully will make it a little bit easier for you. Now, Jen Tracy just put in a comment, top takeaway for me was hiring for current and future environments for sustained performance. I think that's a really, really good one, because at the end of the day, you are hiring for today, but the knowledge gaps are changing and the information flow is coming at us so much faster these days that you do need to plan for the future of talent that you're looking for rather than hiring for talent today. So if anybody else has anything to contribute there, we'd love to hear your top takeaways as well. You know what? I guess while we're waiting for Laura, why don't we check that leaderboard and let's give away those prizes. So I need a drum roll again. Needed to find something on an app for a drum roll. All right. Well, Laura is just coming. Okay. We're going to have to wait on those prizes because Laura is just coming to join us now. I was just going to give away the prizes for the leaderboard, but I'm waiting till the end now because now you're here. So you can give us, you can come and join us.
We can give the prizes together, you know.
Yeah, we'll do it at the end. We'll make them wait just a little bit longer.
Okay.
So what a day.
Yeah.
Amazing. Loved all the sessions that we had today. We had a really in-depth discussion with Jenny. She came in for her interview and it was great. Really loved all this, so much insightful information. Jenny was just talking about over here on the chat that her takeaway from today was hiring for current and future environments for sustained performance.
I think that's a wonderful takeaway.
Yeah.
You know, I think back to Luke Layton as an history and talking about social tokens and, you know, Bitcoin and blockchain, and who would have thought, right? Most people go talk to engineers in traditional hiring, or I think back to Rick McDonald, who looked at his job descriptions and said, we really aren't positioning for future hiring. Mm-hmm. You know, but the other thing that I take away is this kind of evolution of empathetic leaders, right? That care about mental health, care about team culture, custodian. You know, we've always talked about, well, for many years, we've talked about for customer centricity.
Yeah.
But I think we really haven't, you know, spent a lot of time thinking about the DNA of mental health, the DNA of teams and culture. And it was really exciting to see that come out in the presentations.
Well, and the vulnerability across all 3 days, right? From the top leaders that we're hearing from. Now, I want to bring your attention to the poll that we did. What is your biggest challenge with leadership? So 43% of our audience says culture. 29% says effective communication. Now, I just spoke about, because I saw one of the top voices from LinkedIn speak in June about leadership, and she was talking about communication and how you communicate with the generations, because each generation has been through different things. Like Generation Z has not known a world without war, which is an interesting perspective to understand the generation you're talking to for effective communication. What do you think about these poll results?
I think they're very representative of the market. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things we have to think about when we think about how we communicate to generations is the concept of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, time means something so different, and the expectation of information and, you know, the patience for latency is very different in different generations. And I think putting ourselves in the shoes of the generation we're speaking to, one of the interesting things I've observed when I speak, I'll have, you know, Gen Y come up to me and talk to me about career pathing. And I say, you know, supply chain didn't exist when I graduated. Why do you feel so much energy to force fit a career path into a world where you'll probably have 10 to 12 jobs before you retire, and many of the jobs are things that you never imagined. Like, you never imagined you'd be a podcaster, right?
Nope.
I never imagined I'd be a blogger. I mean, I didn't know what a blog was, you know, a podcaster, right?
I didn't have supply chain media as a term in 2016 when I started.
Yeah, you would never have said that in your high school yearbook, right? And so why are we so close-minded trying to force ourselves into boxes that we can't even imagine, versus training ourselves on the critical skills of listening, storytelling, influence management, relationship building, and just natural curiosity and experiencing life, right? The more we can experience life holistically, you know, the better we are as leaders. So that's what I would like to leave people with is, you know, think differently. We don't have the answers. Humility is really important. Let's go get it.
Now, culture being 43% of that as being a challenge for leadership, what are the takeaways around culture specifically? So, you know, culture really for me is from top down. But if you're trying to change culture and knowing that it's a challenge for you to find talent and you're on a supply chain team, How do you navigate that within an organization to make those changes or to maybe start making small impacts? Because you can't change everything overnight. I think you can start making incremental changes, right?
Well, three things come to mind. One is our ability for active listening. I think leaders do more listening and less talking and walking around listening, asking open-ended questions. Mm-hmm. Second is, I think, the questions around principle-based leadership. What are the principles in which you want to engage in purpose-driven culture and get really clear on that? Many times I have people say, you know, I want to have teams that are effective. And I'm like, what's a team look like? Is it a baseball team, a football team, a soccer team, a swimming team? All of those have very different principles and norms.
They really do.
And it's important for us to have that conversation. I mean, you were a catcher in baseball,
right? I play
right?
baseball, yeah.
Yeah, and very different than a swimming team, right?
Very, very different, because I did synchronized swimming as well.
And yeah, you know, the calls, different. You know, how you build relationship, what your skill level, what your training is. All of those are very different. And I think we banter around a lot of terms without really landing the plane. And I think the vision big feet, big wings, right? So purpose-driven culture, principle-based, but we help people to imagine through pictures, through ideation. And I think we're so reactive and tied to the day-to-day, we don't lift up to imagine, to think about the future. And that's what I'm hoping people got from the conference.
And, you know, how do we have the courage to drive that change? You mentioned this word yesterday, courage. And all of the leaders we've heard from have had the courage. So how would you encourage the audience online to find that courage to drive the change that's needed in a variety of different ways? You know, whether it's planning, whether it's technology, whether it's culture.
Whether it's being a podcaster or a blogger, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we both started our own businesses, right? I think it's getting up in the morning, putting your shoes on, saying, I want to walk forward, make a difference, and this is who I want to be, versus saying, I want to be in this box, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I always thought I wanted to be a plant manager until I really woke up one day going, okay,
that's what I want to do.
I am a plant manager. You know, that's not, you know, I'm 30, and what am I going to be when I'm 60, right? And many of the people that are my long-term relationships that were in manufacturing retired in their 50s, and they go through this cycle of they retire and then they have vacation and then they kind of wake up and they say, how can I renew? Mm-hmm. Well, life shouldn't be about 30% vacation on the end. We need to really think about how do we have the courage to live the life we want to live versus propelling ourselves into job descriptions that are very fixed definitions that are changing over time. Mm-hmm. And so if you think about the people that spoke, right? I remember Allison when she was just coming out of school, right? The courage to go to Medtronic, you know, I remember talking to her about that and going from technology to manufacturing. That took courage. Or Brett, you know, the first time I had a call and he's like, what do you mean the event simulation and how would I ever explain this to my boss? And I'm like, just show it to him. And I mean, that was courage, right? Mm-hmm. And so we accept what they did, but what we don't see is they did have courage. And I'm hoping everyone on the call, everyone that experienced this has courage to make a difference.
Leading by example and having the self-doubt and doing it anyways. Right, because everybody has self-doubt.
So believing in yourself.
And believing in yourself, yeah.
And believing in the purpose that you want to have for yourself, not just looking at little boxes that you want to fill, but also integrity in what you do. And you've got to believe in the company that, you know, you're part of. Mm-hmm. And you've got to build a network of people that when you fail and you skin your knee and you're feeling really down, you can call.
Yeah.
And you know, build back up.
So one of the other polls that we did this morning was, what was the greatest challenge building next generation supply chain talent? So 56% said testing and providing value of next gen processes. What do you say to that?
I think that is breakthrough thinking. That makes me very happy, because one of the conversations that I was having with technologists is we're into very much buy-sell relationships. And so technologists come and try to sell versus really helping organizations to build. And I think we need to rethink how we sell and buy technology. I hope no one puts another RFP in the market, because that just sends us down, you know, the drain hole. I want people to really look at how do they partner with technology leaders. And I want technology leaders to think past pipeline and egocentric salespeople that are heavily bonused, to think about how do we test and learn and encourage people to fail. Because just like that rocket that failed 28 times, it's the 29th time that really got us into orbit.
Yes, the Michael Jordan story too. I don't know the exact stats on that one, but I know he, you know, threw the ball into the basket so many times before he was able to do it time after time.
Remember the backwards bike video?
Yeah.
You know, it was like 3 months before he could actually ride the bike, you know?
So we've got some comments. Jessica says, companies knew the labor gap before the pandemic, but didn't choose to listen. The pandemic forced us to face it and start listening to what employees want.
Well, you know, Jessica, I hope people are listening. I'm not sure yet. I think many leaders are still very much in the mindset of labor is there. You just have to go get it, not necessarily grow it and not necessarily encourage it and develop it. And that came from, you know, the post-recession thinking where labor was surplus. And so it's hard to teach old dogs new tricks.
That's so true. And now Michael says, navigating our communication, speaking and active listening to the generations is definitely a critical skill for leadership in these times.
I agree. And I think it's important for people, no matter what generation they are, to try to put themselves in the shoes of the generation that they're talking to. You know, just talking about, you know, what's important and what they've experienced is, you know, germane to the discussion.
All right. Should we give away some prizes?
I'd love to.
All right.
Who walked on with this and got the highest score?
So the winner of our leaderboard on the platform is Mary at 617 points. So you win a free ticket to next year's event. Congratulations. I'll be sending the list of winners to Regina, or you can reach out to Regina as well. The second prize goes to Jessica, who we just heard from, at 429 points. You have won a 45-minute consulting session with Laura, which is worth its weight in gold. What can they expect from that, Laura?
I really want to talk about it, and I would be glad to give it to Marie Bishop as well. She's an old-time contact from Colgate. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. All right. We're giving away extra prizes here. And Giselle came in number three. She was the winner of our first round of trivia. So she also got your book. Way to go, Giselle. 392 points. And you are the winner of an appearance on Laura's very own podcast. So what can she expect from that?
Well, Giselle and I go way back. She's in Finland and she's been on the podcast before. She's a great young leader. And I love her energy.
Awesome. Awesome. So runners up were Ryan Burns and Brian. They both came in at 285 and 231 points. And thank you so much to everybody who participated on the leaderboard. We hope you had fun with some of the gamification that we did this year. We hope you had fun with the trivia. And I guess that's pretty much it. I think that sadly brings us to the end of day three. These past few days have flown by, and Alex, Jonathan, and myself have enjoyed it so much. We'd like to send our thanks to all of the incredible speakers and panelists, all of the creators of those inspirational River of Demand videos, and of course, to Laura Ciceri, who has made all of this possible and done an incredible job in bringing us all together digitally and in person for 3 days of thought-provoking conversation, inspiration, laughter, and community. It's been such a pleasure. And of course, we have to send a huge thank you to all of you, our attendees, because none of of this would be possible without you. You've all come with open hearts and minds, brought a lot of fresh perspectives, and I'm honored to have been able to host and chat with as many of you as I have over on LinkedIn, over on the platform as well. Just to let you know, all the materials will be archived on the Supply Chain Insights Global Summit website within the month, and also watch Laura's LinkedIn page to get the latest updates. And any final words, Laura?
I just want to say thank you, Sarah. It's been kind of tough sledding with some of the internet issues we've had and some of the technology, but we did it. And
we did.
I really appreciated working with you, and I love your energy. And I think reach out to Sarah as well and join her podcast, and let's rock the world. Let's change it. Let's imagine something different.
Yeah, let's make a difference. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We'll see you next time.